The day. It's the second Sunday of Christmas. It's still Christmas in the church's calendar. Harvey Norman and co. have said it's past, but no, it's still Christmas. And we're marking that still with the candles as long as they last. And it's the first day of a new year. We're not into feng shui or kind of cosmic significance of a day being auspicious or anything like that. But it has a certain load, doesn't it? Any of you make resolutions for this year? Well, this morning I woke up. I've made a weight loss resolution last year, and this morning I got there on the dot. So I'm quite encouraged. Can't lose too much more. This passage, this is an awesome passage. There's so much, so many angles that we could reflect on this. We've walked through, well, at least in this church, the season of Advent, that purple time leading up to Christmas, which was about anticipating the coming of Christ, both in his incarnation at Christmas and at the end of the age. He's coming back. He's coming back as king enthroned. And this passage here took us there today. Allow me to meander a little bit. It all connects. Do you know what Christian hope is based on? Everyone needs hope. Our hope is based on faith that what God has started, God will finish. It's that simple. What God has started, God will finish. And we live in that in-between tension. And God has started a good work in creation and redemption in Jesus Christ. And he's not going to leave it as a kind of get round to it one day. No, he's going to finish it. And this reading takes us forward. And what that sets up for Christians, people of faith, how people without faith manage, I don't know. But for people of faith, we live now in the light of the future. We receive the past, what God has done, and we live in the light of the future. I was skimming the paper yesterday morning, and there were various options or opinions being offered on what the share market was going to do this year and what sort of a year it would be here, a year it would be there. It's the same dynamic. Being told, oh, in 9 months it's going to be here, so this is where you put your money now. Acting now in the light of the future. And so Jesus puts before his friends this vision of the kingdom coming with judgment. Now, apart from you, Rebecca, the rest of us look pretty European, and us Europeans have got judgment big in our heads. Guilt is our major issue. Even if you've been through 3, 4, 5 generations in New Zealand, we're culturally European. So the tendency would be to hear this as Jesus the judge dishing out sentences. You in the fourth row, no dessert tonight, that sort of thing. Judgment is essentially about showing the reality. When God judges, it's not primarily about dispensing punishment and kicking backsides. It's primarily about revealing the reality. And then in the light of the reality, this is what happens. We need judgment. Judgment's a very good thing. Even though lots of people say, don't judge me. We need judgment. Judgment throws light on what is actually the case. When Jesus comes back, he will come back and reveal and address the reality. Most things are covered up, wallpapered over, sort of have a nice facade in front of them. It takes judgment to cut through that. And so Jesus, at the end of the age, gives this picture of him returning to assess people. Now, it's a confusing situation. People have done good, but didn't recognize that they had done good to Jesus. People had not done good and didn't recognize that they had not done good to Jesus. What's the basic problem? Blindness. The do-gooders and the not do-gooders can't see Jesus. And he shines this light into their lives and appears to say, you were doing this for me, or you were not doing this for me. And so on this first day of the year, the point I want to bring is in 2023, even though it's just a calendar marking and it's, we will be living our life either in response to seeing Jesus or not in response to seeing Jesus. About 10 years ago, I got to hear some very adventurous believers who had gone into Iraq just after the liberation, or the conquest rather, of Basra in southern Iraq. They were American brothers and sisters, and they decided this was the ideal time to go and do evangelism. And being realistic, they made contact with the local warlords and authorities, all Muslim, and they went simply with the question, if Jesus were here, what would he be doing? Isa in the Islamic, in the Quran. If Isa were here, what would he be doing? And they knew about Isa. And their answer was, after a bit of consideration, he would be being kind to women and children. So these mission-hearted Christians from America decided that was the thing to do. So they've spent their time in Basra just after it had changed hands, being kind to women and children. And there was recognition given that these people, these infidels who've come among us, need to be protected because they're doing what Isa would be doing. And a witness could be given to Christ through that. I look for opportunities where there is a sense of, Lord, I can recognize you here and live my life as unto you. When I read the newspapers about New Zealand's problems today, most people have a kind of a fix-it mentality. We have a problem, let's fix it. That's doing good. Well, that's doing good if you don't have God. What Jesus is saying here, no, we look for situations where Jesus or those who carry Jesus are in need, and we respond to that. It's not the problem That's the issue. It's the fact that there are people who bear the image of God and represent Jesus as his brothers and sisters are in need. It's relational. It's personal. So, Lord, when did we see you? When did we see you? When did we not see you? So, in effect, I am here sharing a personal challenge with you. This is a live issue for me. As a professional Christian, the Daleks are coming. You're a child of the 60s, Andrew. Or what sometimes my Muslim context in Europe would call me a big Christian, because I'm a church pastor. Well, you're a big Christian. Europeans are more kind of cynical and say, well, you get paid for doing what you do. But in that frame, I am challenged by this. Otherwise, my ministry and my service is just doing A, B, C, D, solving problem A, B, C, D, doing the right stuff as if it's some code. But to finish, Jesus, I believe, is saying here, no, it's not about that. It's not about coming to me at the end of your days with a checklist like Louis XIV did on his deathbed. He came with a list prepared for God, so when he faced judgment, he could say, I've done this, 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 and this. Aren't you impressed? No, it's when did we see and respond to Jesus as our brother and our friend in a person, in a situation?